Drupal Voices is a series of interviews with people contributing to the Drupal community. Brought to you by the 2011 Do It With Drupal Conference. This year's event takes place October 12th, 13th, and 14th in Brooklyn, New York. Come get practical advice and learn the site-building strategies of Drupal's top developers and hear from experts in emerging technologies such as IPTV and mobile app development. For more information and registration rates, visit doitwithdrupal.com.
Hi, it's Robert Douglas, and at DrupalCon, happy to be here. And a few weeks ago, not really on purpose, but you know, with a kind of a half of an idea that people would be really interested in, I kind of tweeted about the idea of a Drupal App Store. And it was leading up to a presentation I was doing in Belgium that went very well, called the Droopy App Store. And it was a thought exercise in what would happen if there were a Drupal App Store. And the reactions that came out of that and the discussions that came out of that were really overwhelming. I wasn't expecting the depth of the passion and the divergence of opinions that people had on the topic. That was a real eye-opener for me. Then here we are, you know, fast forward a few weeks, and we're at DrupalCon, and I'm giving a talk about Drupal as a mature software industry, where actually the idea of this app store plays just but one role. And with the certainty that there are going to be app stores, probably multiple instances of some sort of tool where you can very easily download a bit of code or some other product, maybe a training video or buy a support contract, but that it all happens within your site or your environment. And in the same way that you've got an iPhone and you go to the App Store on the iPhone, you go to the App Store within your Drupal site and you can like do a commercial transaction. I think that we're going to move into a place with Drupal as a business where we start contacting and coming into touch with a lot more consumer-oriented customers. So until this time, the people who are doing Drupal work, their customers are people who are buying big development efforts. So what you're buying is development time, and the products that people have been building are the websites themselves. And I think if we're at a crossroads right now with Drupal, where we're going to start coming into touch with people who aren't buying development efforts. They want to buy productized, finished things. And what those are, how those emerge, that's going to be really interesting. I think that's going to be something that the market's going to address. I think it's starting to do that. I think that, you know, the features paradigm of distributing things, like the ideation feature that Phase 2 is talking about, that they worked on with Development Seed, that's a good first example. And I know that other people are working on, say, like a mind mapping feature. Christoph Fantomi is working on that. And I think a lot of people will have a lot more ideas. So I'm really looking forward to this next evolution in Drupal's business development, where we have real consumer-oriented goods, where the developers can spend their time not just, you know, making sure that the API is good and that the code looks clean, but actually what the end user touches, what the end user sees, is productized.
Cool. So it sounds like you did sort of an offhanded tweet and people either hated it or loved it, and it sort of created a lot of debate. And Lulbot actually did a podcast on that as well, sort of exploring those issues. And it sounds like in your presentation, you're kind of like Drupal as a mature software platform, or kind of like integrating a lot of that in those themes of Drupal as an app store. So what are the other sort of big points that you're going to communicate in your session around that?
Well, the session's been evolving for a little bit over a year since I gave it the very first time. And one of the big, very fundamental ideas that I want to convey to people is that when you do open source software development, when you go to Drupal.org and, you know, post in the forums, or if you submit a bug report, you're contributing to this software product, which has created enormous value. Enormous economic value around the world for a lot of people, a lot of organizations, that if we had the right tools could potentially be measured, and it would probably be billions of dollars. Just an enormous amount of economic value has been created. And when you create economic value with open source software, it's not like when you create economic value by, say, harvesting wheat and baking bread, or harvesting cotton and sewing a shirt, or digging copper ore and making a metal. Because when you do any of those, you have to take a limited natural resource and you apply your labor to it, and you've got a finished product. But when you create open source software, you're literally creating value out of thin air. And because we've done this, we've done the world a great service. We've created something for the world that is enormous, and it will create and continue to create value long after any of us are still involved with the project. There will probably be Drupal sites for decades, and all of that value is basically not sticking to the developers who did it. And one of the ideas that I want to give people is that if you're creating all this value and you're not doing it in a way that rapes the earth of her natural resources, and you're doing it in a way that helps so many other people, why would it be so wrong to retain some of it? Because out of all the people that I know on earth who would have the responsibility and the foresight and the wisdom and the idealistic basis to possess money, ergo power, I'd want it to be the Drupal community. I'd want it to be to the Drupal developers, the people who know how to work together for the common good, the people who know how to collaborate, the people who know how to take the initiative to scratch their own itch and then share the goods of their efforts with their neighbors and then rejoice in the successes of their neighbors as they rejoice in their own successes. Those are the people on Earth that I would most entrust the Earth's riches and wealth. And I see that it's flowing away from us because we're charging for our hourly efforts. And as soon as we don't work an hour, we don't get paid anymore because the products we're building are the websites. And as soon as we finish a website, then we've got nothing. We can't resell that website because we just sold it to a specific customer. And therefore, I welcome the new economic models that an app store would bring Drupal, because it'll give developers the opportunity to really focus on a product and actually set up economic models where they continue to benefit from their work beyond when they sell it to one customer or after they've clocked that 1 hour on the clock.
Cool. So what do you see sort of on the horizon with all this stuff? You know, how do you see this sort of playing out?
New types of Drupal sites, new types of Drupal products, new consumers and customers, and new developers. A lot of potential Drupal businesses and developers don't come into our industry right now and don't invest in Drupal because they don't have a venue for what they would create. And a lot of people in the App Store debate had a hard time conceptualizing what might be sold through it. And that's because we don't have any of it right now. Okay, a lot of the things that we might potentially be able to sell through an App Store isn't being attracted to our market because there's no venue for selling it. That doesn't mean that I have a lot of concrete examples, but I mean, I've got some ideas. And I think that we're going to see a shift in the market. So rather than like taking views and CCK and all of a sudden putting a price tag on them and saying you have to charge money for the stuff that you used to get for free, I think you're just going to see stuff start to be possible for Drupal that has never been possible before. It'll be an enabler.
Cool. And just sort of speculation here, Phase 2 just acquired 4 distributions and they're not interested in doing any hosting, and Acquia is a marketing company, is what Tom Erickson said. They have a quarter of your company is in marketing and sales, and so they do hosting. So, and I know there's been a lot of collaboration between Phase 2 and this distribution. So what do you see sort of coming out of that?
Well, both companies are very much in agreement that products are the way forward. So both companies are very much in agreement that developing a product because it does a whole thing. So for Acquia, you know, like Drupal Gardens and the Dev Cloud, those are products where we're trying to solve a problem, then we want to sell that product over and over again. And for Phase 2, you know, their products are Open Publish, Open Public, and the properties that they bought, and they're investing in these tools that solve problems. That's a model that I would like to impress on as many people as possible that is very desirable. It's a better way to create value long-term, and it's a more sustainable way of doing business than just, you know, going from one website building project to the next. Beyond that, you know, I think that the people who speak for the respective companies' product lines are better suited to speculate than I am.
Okay. And so how do you foresee, like, you know, if something like this, the App Store, would come about and someone did a lot of work. Let's say Nate Haug did a lot of work on Webform, let's say, for example, and then that gets rolled into a product or an app that's then sold. How is sort of the kickback to the people who are doing the coding and the original work? Is there any sort of like revenue stream issues there in terms of paying almost royalties to the original code? I know it's open source code, and so GPL kind of allows for that, but I'm just sort of like, you know, if there is these new economic models, then is there an economic solution to kind of like keeping good karma with the community and not just sort of appropriating modules and then sort of spinning it into products that are then sort of packaged and sold?
Well, personally, when I commit code to Drupal.org under the GPL, I embrace what the GPL says fully without any hesitation or limitation, and it says that I don't control what happens to that code. So therefore, for example, if somebody were to use some of my code in a product and make a lot of money on it and never even talk to me about it, then I would personally not hold them accountable for any bad karma. In fact, I'd feel a modicum of pride for enabling them to do that, because I committed that code with full consciousness of what I was doing, and I'm happy to have enabled the generation of new value. That doesn't mean that I don't want something for myself. I just think that context is the wrong way to frame the question. So I think that if somebody wanted to use Webform in a product, that finding a way to work with Nate would be advisable, because he's the maintainer of the module, and they'd be acquiring significant business risk if they were unable to, say, contribute patches back to the queue if they're doing further development, or if, you know, if they don't have a relationship to the actual source of the code, then either they're going to have to fork it at some point, or they're going to have to relinquish their own vision and control. Maybe that involves a business relationship with Nate, or maybe it doesn't. And I think that we'd be really remiss to try and build a system that automated it. I think that we don't need it. I don't see any potential iteration of a real app store having any significant impact on the way that we do the things on Drupal.org that we already do. An app store, for example, in a Drupal site would essentially rest on the shoulders of the entire Drupal core and all of the modules that you might use. I mean, that's thousands of contributors, right? Are they all supposed to get a kickback? I don't think so. So I think that the theoretical question that you asked, probably we won't see very much action in that direction. If new business relationships will be made, but there won't be anything like, okay, let's track down all the people who contributed to this free software and let's compensate them. Because, I mean, let's face it, people are making money on Webform already. You know, look at how many sites use it. A lot of them were paid for.
And finally, what do you sort of see as your vision in your mind in terms of Drupal as a mature platform? What kind of like new ecosystems do you see that would exist that don't currently exist?
Well, to an extent, a lot of what was once really special about the Drupal software will become a commodity. Like, it's basically taken for granted these days that you can just provision a website in short order and start publishing content and have it look really fairly decent, upload images and, you know, classify it and make some views on it. I mean, it's like really straightforward stuff. So and just like when we buy a cell phone now, it's really taken for granted that we can check our email, that we can browse the web, that we can, you know, manage relationships with friends on social networks and stuff like that. That wasn't the case 3 or 4 years ago when you went to buy a cell phone. That might have been possible, but it wasn't a commodity. And I think just like those iPhone apps that let you connect to Facebook, those are products, right? And in the ensuing time between then and now, those products got created, they got productized, they filled some consumer need, and I think we'll see the same thing happening in Drupal, that there will be an emergence of products that fill very specific consumer needs, and you only get that product if you have exactly that need, and it will be taken for granted that it's possible, and a lot of the people who will use these products may have no inkling that this great open source product and communities behind it all. They're just trying to solve a need, and it's not important to them that it's open source. It's not important to them that we have DrupalCon. It's not important to them that, you know, Nate Haug wrote it. But it will be good for us because the value that they're then going to hand over to us to get access to that product or to make sure that it works or to get support on it will enable us to continue to be who we are.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.